The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time to get the automatic bye.
Big Ten regular season over. Oregon undefeated 12-0 in their first outing with the Big Ten Conference play. A special season.
This is a Big Ten Championship Week edition of Dirt and Spray.
Brought to you by Mods PDX. The future of building is here. Online at modspdx.com.
Dirt and Spray on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Season's not over yet.
The Fan.
All right. 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Spray on Portland Sports Leader. 1080. AM. The Fan.
24 arena.
3 Dallas. Ready?
58.
Blue Poncho.
Blue 58.
Rainbow.
It's Monday.
Red Polly.
Red Polly.
Red Polly. 24 double Puma on one.
Yes. Here we go.
Happy Football Friday, everybody.
What is happening?
One of the last college football Fridays of our lives.
God, so sad, man.
It
R.I.P.
is.
I will remember you.
My wife goes, "Do you have any plan? Do we have any plans this weekend?"
And yes,
I said, yeah, I do.
Yes.
I don't know what you're doing.
You kidding me? Starts on a Friday night, 9 a.m. tomorrow. Big 12, 12:30 SEC. Do we have plans this weekend? Get out of here.
Look, there's only so many weekends of the calendar year where I'm kind of rendered pretty useless as like a husband slash dad. This is one of them.
A lot of college football Saturdays can kind of blend together where there's like, all right, yeah, keep an eye on it. But
there's windows in the weekends.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't really care about
these games. 4:30, I should be home because these are the good primetime games, or it's a big noon game. That's the one you want to watch. This is one that it's kind of wall to wall all day. I'm excited for every single one of these games this weekend.
I had one. I can't remember the week, nor can I remember the game. I want to say it was maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. I could be wrong on that. But it wasn't that long, but it was a little bit. And my wife goes, "Hey, can you go with us? We're going to go do this." And it wasn't something important. And
no.
I remember saying out loud, "Yeah."
Mm.
And she goes, "Are you sure?" And I go, "Well, Dirt's going to probably talk about this game." Yeah, let's go. We don't
need
to. You
use me as an excuse? I like that.
No. I left because I just said, well, he's probably going to be weird and disgusting and watch that game, but nobody really cares about it.
I'm the only one, man.
He's going to pull it out of his ass as a ref. Did you watch North Carolina, Minnesota?
Were you plugged into Iowa, Nebraska on Friday like I was? Because I was glued to that game on Friday night.
I didn't watch a second of that game.
Dude, you missed one of the most glorious football games of the year.
No, you gave me
stats. Iowa won a game without converting a third down.
they were
0 for 10 on third down.
Jeez.
There was a stat floating around that they legitimately had 6 offensive plays that went for positive yards the entire game.
I kind of thought doing NFL Factoid Tuesday would end up motivating your ass
to do a college football factoid day.
Yeah, because like you give me the stats of Iowa, who I think finished with 60 yards of total offense.
It was so bad,
and they won 13-10. Like that's an game existing is insane.
It sums up why college football is beautiful, and it's stupid, and it doesn't make any sense that there's teams like that, and there's teams that could score 50 a game. That's why I love it. It's a beautiful sport. And thankfully, at least this year, we have an exciting postseason. That's been the one downside of college football forever, is that you have this big finish to conference championship week, and then it's like, all right.
Yeah, I know.
See you on January 1st.
It used to be so much worse.
Now it's time for the L.A. Bowl and the Idaho Potato Bowl, and this is what we're going to watch for the next month, and then you get playoff games. Now you get these, a slight break. You get Army-Navy next weekend, and then boom, you're right into the college football playoff.
Is the Pop-Tart Bowl going to be a thing again?
I believe so.
I hope so.
I believe so.
Can I make an argument to you?
Got the Mayo Bowl.
What do you got?
The Pop-Tart Bowl.
I believe in voting. I'm a big voter, okay? And if I vote for something and that doesn't get picked, I usually, as like my individual self, take a step back and say, what am I not seeing or what am I missing here? Okay.
How am I off on this?
Right. I think that's what we all need to be doing. And I would say, as a guy who really is pro-voting, we as college football fans, we should be given a window to vote on playoff games. And what I mean by that is not the matchups. Mm. I want the Pop-Tart Bowl to be a semifinal game.
You want that game to be more significant?
I want that Pop-Tart cooking itself and the winner of a semifinal playoff game eating a giant-ass Pop-Tart.
Or the Mayo Bowl, where like in a quarterfinal game, Oregon beats Georgia, and then you have to get a Mayo.
Dan Lanning's
got to have Mayo dumped on his head after the game.
Dan, what are you going to do next? I'm going to bathe the Mayo, right?
Right. And then we'll go get ready for Texas, right? After this Mayo bath.
Reeks, baby.
God, that'd be great. Great. They should rotate it around. It would be glorious. First, I want home sites, but if we can't get that and you got to shove corporate sponsors down my throat, then give me the Pop-Tart Bowl in a semifinal.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is like if you do the first two rounds home sites, then the semis to the championship, those should be corporate. Give me the Duke's Mayo Bowl in one venue and the Pop-Tart Bowl in the other. And then the national championship, you can just go do whatever. If you want to go to like Atlanta or Dallas.
Yeah, go to your big city.
Yeah, go to your big city with your big NFL stadium.
Right.
You know, sell out as a corporate shill.
They still need to name the bowl something, though. See, I wish that the national championship were still called something. Because back in the day, it was just a rotation of the four or five major bowls. And, you know, the Rose Bowl happened to be the championship one year. It was the Fiesta Bowl. I like
that. Well, one year,
too. Here's your problem, Schultzy. There's too much money on the line now. You're not going to do that. You got cities that are bidding to host the game.
Well, isn't that...
We got a national championship in Santa Clara a couple of years ago. Remember that?
Don't we just call it the national championship?
Yeah, just nice. But Schultzy is right. It used to just rotate one of the four BCS bowl sites, and that would be the only place that would host it.
Prior to that, though, even prior to the BCS, I don't know, Schultzy, how old are you? Are you our age?
35.
You're 35. Okay, so you're dirt
age. 36.
So you're in the same kind of wheelhouse here. Prior to the BCS, when Washington's winning a title because, you know, Norm in Pennsylvania is writing them in.
Yeah, baby.
Back in the day.
We didn't have a set national championship game. It was largely like, who is the number one team and where did they play? Oh, Miami won the Orange Bowl. They're the national championship. That wasn't the national championship game.
They didn't have one.
Didn't SMU declare themselves national champions in 1981?
A lot of teams have, Oklahoma State's still doing it. You know, hey, by the way, in 1932, we feel like we won a national championship, so we're going to go ahead and claim
that. I remember that.
And then they lost like four games that season, but one person voted them number one at the end of the season. That's the way it worked.
In the Big Ten, Rutgers, the home of collegiate football, the first ever game. It all started back at Rutgers. It was them. And gosh, it was either like one of the other like Ivy League schools or some other East Coast school, but they both played each other like twice. That was the college football season that year, and they both declared national champions as their schools.
I'll never forget one of the first like sports memories I have. We actually talked about it yesterday because we were talking about teams that you connect to certain bowl games. And I'll always think, when I think of the Rose Bowl, outside of the games that my team has played, the picture that comes into my head is Michigan and Charles Woodson with the rose in his mouth. Cougar fan was chiming in saying there's still technically 2 seconds left on the clock. We want to see Ryan Leaf get one more shot at knocking Michigan off. And I can appreciate that. I remember it dawning on me. I would have been, about 8 or 9, somewhere in that range when that game happened. I remember it dawning on me because the other team, do you remember who they split with in 1997?
Oh, I know
they didn't win the national title. Michigan was a split national title in 1997. And it was the last year before the BCS started.
Dude, I know this. It wasn't Nebraska.
It was Nebraska.
Was it Nebraska?
In 1997. And I remember my family, my grandparents, they were all like, Nebraska winning national titles was a regular thing for them. Mm. And I think that's when it started computing for me, and they were bragging about winning a national title. But I grew up rooting for Michigan as well because I liked the helmets and Charles Woodson was cool. And I was like, no, wait, well, no, they didn't. Michigan won. And they're like, no, we won. But it didn't make, and then the very next year you got the BCS system where we actually had a national championship game.
And then we got outraged, and then we got a playoff,
and then we got outraged,
and now we got 12, and now we're outraged.
Yeah, it's not enough. We need 32.
We're never happy.
We need somebody on like College Football Reddit made like a 1,000-team college football bracket for the postseason. Everybody, top level all the way down to the bottom. Make it happen. Let's go.
If I'm ever an old man and I've got like a great-grandkid, Grandpa, how would you sum up America in your life?
Always unhappy.
Yeah.
We're never happy.
No. That's
you're right, Grandpa. We don't fly fast enough whenever we need to go somewhere.
No, go quicker. Why does it take so long?
I would say, though, I had somebody, I think it was my brother, had brought up, you know, Washington, and they were watching the Washington-Oregon game, and like, oh, man, you know, and I don't remember how it was brought up. I have to check my text, but it was like, oh, you know, the national championship in 91. And I said, yeah, dirt clowns them for it.
Go, really?
Team was loaded. And I go,
they were great.
I know. But if his team also had the same thing happen, he would be claiming it.
Oh, you're damn right I would. Get
and
you one of these.
That's what's funny about the voting thing. We bag it. You know who would win the vote for the number one team in the country in a national championship if we did it that way, right? Green and yellow team.
You're damn right they
undefeated.
Would.
Undefeated.
Give us the trophy now.
And now you'd
We
count
don't
it.
Need to play a postseason. We're going to go play a team in the Rose Bowl. There's no other need, and that's the way we're going to crown it. You give us a national championship, we're undefeated. That's how it should work.
Now, you'd have to balance this, so this could be a stupid question, but it could also be a difficult one.
Yeah.
We really want to see this 12-team playoff play out, right?
We do.
But if I gave you the option of watching the first 12-team playoff ever in college football history, or your team just getting voted in.
Just voted a national champion.
National championship.
I mean, I'm taking the vote for sure. I'm taking the vote. You kidding me?
No games.
No games. No games played. Stop the count. It's over. Season's over. Stop it right now. We won a national championship.
That's what I thought.
I was scrolling through the list of bowl games as well of the other funny like quarterfinal, semifinal
sites.
We
should be able to vote on this. I'm not kidding.
I mean, how is the 68 Ventures Bowl in Mobile, Alabama, not going to get a semifinal?
Well, they didn't give the most money. You guys were telling
come
me
on.
It's all about
that's the way it should work, right?
Sponsorship.
You want a hot
about,
take?
What about the Wasabi Fenway Bowl? Give them a quarterfinal in Boston, playing in a baseball field.
Is the Outback still doing a bowl game?
I believe the Outback is still doing a bowl
Let's
game.
Go.
See, we should be doing that as a playoff game, and the winning coach gets like trapped in a stack of onion rings.
Yeah, yeah,
they should play that game in Australia.
Oh, that'd be bad.
That's even yeah.
You don't want the Radiance Technology. Independence Bowl in Shreveport, Louisiana, to host a semifinal game.
I don't think I could name all the bowls anymore.
Oh, it's insane. By the way, the Pop-Tart Bowl still takes place. It's on December 28th. That is also the same day as the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl presented by Gin and Juice by Dre and Snoop Dogg.
I mean, okay, if you're going to give me the halftime show of Dre and Snoop and the Gin and Juice Bowl,
cool.
Might need to be a playoff
is
game.
Is it a halftime show of them, or is it just
probably not,
alcohol.
But I'm saying if it's a playoff game, then maybe it is a halftime show.
It's true.
Where's that game being played?
That game is played. The Pop-Tart Bowl is being played in Orlando, Florida. Who doesn't want to go to Orlando, Florida this
go
time
to
of
Disney
year?
World.
Sounds delightful. Oh, let's go down there, roast a Pop-Tart, and win a playoff game.
Oh man, I love sports. I love sports so much.
I'm having fun talking about this because there is genuinely a part of me that's really sad. I love college football more than anything on this planet, and when it comes to an end, like, this is it. We got, like, 1 month left, basically, and then it's all over.
It's probably, and I don't think I'm speaking for a majority of people, but I think I'm speaking for a decent amount. It's probably the biggest criticism. I don't get it a lot in my personal life because people in my life know to, like, hey, I know when I suck. I don't need to hear it. You know what I mean? Like, and people tell me enough that I don't need to hear more of it. It's probably the one thing I hear, though, the most is like, you guys don't do as much NFL as I always think. And I'm like, that's because my co-host snorts college football like it's crack cocaine.
I do.
So from like 6:30 to 9, I'm lucky if there's an NFL segment in there.
Listen, we'll sneak in a little man Campbell on fourth down today. You'll get that on a conference championship Saturday. I give you that. I'll sneak a little bit of that in. That was a good game last
night. And so I know as your co-host how genuinely sad you are becoming. I'm sad too. I am. I love college football as well. You just go to like a disgusting level with it. You are Ben Stiller at the end of Dodgeball, bucket of chicken. That's you in college football season.
Eating up the Scooter's Coffee Frisco Bowl on Tuesday, December 17th.
Have you seen The Whale yet?
Yeah, brother.
No, I have not. The movie I told you about, Brendan Fraser.
The Whale.
Have you seen that movie, Schultz?
The Whale? I've heard about it, yeah.
Oh, my God.
You have
to mentally be ready.
It's a sad story, but he did it well. So
that was he was amazing in that movie. There is a scene in that's dirt deer in college. It's at the back end of the movie. He kind of knows he's going to die.
Like this is the end.
And he just unloads the entire kitchen into his gullet.
Just a couple of pizzas going down,
pizzas,
a lot of wings,
full-size candy bars, chips, just like.
How did they film that with him eating all that food? Because he eats it in the movie, right? Like it's.
I think he takes a lot of bites. I think it's a lot of cutting and editing.
Spit it out, kind of thing.
Eat all that food.
Yeah. I mean, he was bigger when he shot it. Not that big, but like
he's clearly a lot of makeup and stuff.
He's had a weight loss battle. So.
I'm sure he gained a little bit of the LBs, but that's dirt. My point is that is dirt for college football. It's like
he's covered in chicken grease.
Dude, you need to stop. You're gonna die.
This is a problem, dude. I got an issue, man.
You do.
It's a
you missing
problem.
That Conference USA action on Wednesdays, like I am.
I know that my wife, when I get home today, she's off today. To get the question at some point, are we going to watch a Christmas movie tonight? I know that question is looming, and I'm going to have to look at her and say, honey, I'm sorry. It's the Mountain West Championship.
Can I give you a good one?
Winner goes to the playoff.
I don't, well, actually, yeah, it's a good point. The Mountain West, do you know what they're airing on NBC tonight for the first time in 50 years?
In 50 years?
This is kind of that time of year where I don't watch a lot of network television, but sometimes things can get me to it.
First time in 50 years. Yeah. It's not Wonderful Life because I think they show that every year.
Nope. Wonderful Life will eventually be on TV.
Yes.
The tough thing with that on TV is it's a four-hour extravaganza.
God, that movie is long.
Well, there's just too many commercial breaks. That's the problem.
It's long when you walk it, watch it without commercials.
Right.
You're like, jeez.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Like the old school cartoony one?
The claymation
Rankin
one.
And Bass,
okay.
Rankin Bass, the hell
I'm down with that. I'll watch that.
I don't know what time. I think it's 8.
Those are usually the Christmas movies that I'm down with this time of year during football season because they're not very long.
Yeah.
Like you're not sitting
30,
down for like
40 minutes.
Like, hey, let's watch a Christmas movie. How about Charlie Brown? It's 30 minutes long. Boom. And then you're in and you're out. You're done.
That's a TV episode.
Hey. It's a movie, Schultze. It's a movie.
Oh, you think Charlie Brown Christmas is an episode, not a movie?
No, it was a TV special, like sponsored by Coca-Cola. That was the whole reason it was written. It was to advertise Coca-Cola during Christmas time in a 30-minute TV slot. So it is a TV special.
Coca-Cola dominates Christmas.
Oh dude, the polar bears.
Santa driving around. Yeah, it just Coca-Cola hits home runs every year this time of year.
Pepsi really dropped the ball. They try to compete, and they just, you can't beat Christmas.
It's Kendall Jenner stopping a protest. That's not going to do it. What are we doing, Pepsi?
Ending racism with Pepsi.
Remember that?
God.
Here, you take a Pepsi. Why don't you calm down over there? You sip a Pepsi and sit your ass down.
Black guy, white guy, drink Pepsi. Be friends.
Now I get along with the cops. How about that? Pepsi solving problems.
Yeah, but all those producers saw money, basically, and then produced the Thanksgiving and Halloween specials as well.
Yeah,
and they're all
on
what,
top
like
of it.
30 or less minutes?
What
they're like 24 minutes.
They're pretty quick.
Still has a job at Pepsi that came up with
no
that
chance
idea.
That person still has a
what
job.
What if we hired Kendall Jenner? And then she's
a non-controversial figure who's beloved by everybody.
She steps in the middle of a BLM protest.
It's actually Pepsi's reportedly the same sides. Person that got hired by Bud Light and screwed both sides politically over. I'm just kidding. It's not true at all.
Oh,
what a world of marketing we live in,
you
huh?
get paid for, man? I could come up with a better idea than that. What's that, a six-figure job, seven-figure job?
Sometimes
hire me
there
to
are
be
ideas
the consulting.
That I'm like, who did this?
This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen, man.
Oh, my God. Well, it's a football Friday. We're going along already. Look at us. Let's get it going. We got a lot to get to today. It is conference championship weekend in college football. Let's start, though, with the NFL. Next on The Fan. I love when people in life elicit an emotional reaction from people. My dad texted me yesterday, I'm sorry, but Campbell made a bad decision on that one. Total arrogance.
Oh, no.
This is the NFL, and the pack ain't foo-foos. Please. I almost hope they lose because of that stupid-ass call.
I'm imagining that's the one fourth down that they did not get that elicited that reaction, not the ones that they did get.
I didn't respond to that text because you are correct. And then he got the one at the end that clinched it. And I just sent Randy Marsh carrying his balls in a wheelbarrow after they converted it and said, well, and he was right.
It is so funny that my brother is almost identical to that. Anytime there's a fourth down decision that gets talked about, I will get a text from him, especially in Oregon games, where it's an immediate, you got to take the points.
Well, because that's Dan Lanning.
Got to take the points.
Dan Campbell, like, Dan Lanning, same
they're
person.
The same guy. I'm like, dude, this works so many times. It's so fun. How are you against this? It's enjoyable. It's entertaining. It's right of your life. Have fun.
I just
life's too short. Go for it.
I get it. It's that fourth down that he didn't get. Quite controversial. You're in your own territory pretty deep. It's fourth and one.
Yeah.
And it didn't work.
Nope.
And the Packers capitalized. They score. They take the lead. You're probably freaking out because you sprayed the lines on the Lions minus three.
I would, but I also wasn't freaking out because if he didn't go for it on the 2 fourth and goals earlier in the game, they wouldn't have been in a position to even cover the spread.
I loved so much at the end of the half going for that fourth and goal and saying, now, you know what? I don't want to be up, what was it? It would have been 13-7.
Yeah, it was 10-7. They had a fourth and goal from the 2 yard line with 12 seconds left or whatever it was in the first half.
But the funny thing is, he did this in the NFC Championship game and it bit him. And so it's like, he's going to have both these moments potentially present themselves where he doesn't get it in the playoffs. The other team stops him, then scores, and the city of Detroit's going to move him out of his next house.
It's just so dumb.
That's the thing about coaches like this, and Lanning is kind of this. It's not that they're right every time, but there is an element, and you can hear the players in the Lions locker room talk about this. There's an element of, he just has a fundamental to his core belief in his dudes to capitalize and execute plays.
Yes.
And it doesn't mean it's always right. The fourth down bot is always going to question some things, and fans are going to question it, especially if it fails. But if all you do is root and cheer and go crazy when it succeeds, there's an element of, okay, that one failed. You hope the defense kind of bails you out and holds maybe to a field goal or causes a turnover. You can't completely kill a guy if it fails.
This was my whole thing in the Oregon-Wisconsin fake field goal, which I get for a lot of people was a frustration point. But I just chuckled and said, did you say that when they faked the punt against Maryland and Jordan Burch was running down the field? Like a running back going on a 4-2-40, picking up 40 yards. Did that one bother you? When they played Ohio State and he did the water boy onside kick and drilled it into a guy's chest, they recovered it, and that ended up being a massive play in the game. Are you complaining when he did that, or are you only going to complain when it doesn't work out? That was the funny thing about last night was they had the lead in the game literally because he was going for it on fourth down at the goal line twice, and they scored touchdowns twice going for it. That was the reason they had the lead to begin with. So I get that it's controversial. I love coaches who are willing to be aggressive, who are willing to stick to their identity, who are not going to be scared away by past results. And I also looked at that game last night, and one of the fears that I had in gambling on Detroit, it was funny, it ended up being a push, was their entire front seven is out defensively right now, essentially. They got a couple of guys left in the back end, but then Branch left the game late. I don't know if he was cramping or if it was something more serious than that, but he's maybe their best guy in the secondary. So on the last one specifically that everybody was freaking out about, there would have been about 45 seconds left, and you have a mashed unit on defense. What are the chances Jordan Love gets that ball into field goal range and the Packers tie it? And then it comes down to a coin toss in overtime because of the way your defense had been playing up to that point. They gave up 24 points in the second half of that game. Mm-hmm. So what's the strength of Detroit? It's their offensive line. That's their identity. Win the game with them on the field. I loved that call.
And then Goff falls down and you go in real time. Oh, my God. Oh, they got it.
Thank God it's not college football, because that would have been a loss of three because he got tripped up by his guard.
Now, I'm asking sincerely because I referenced the NFC Championship game. They lost that. He was aggressive in that game.
Yes,
and
he was.
It kind of led to what we talked about a few months ago. He had to move because football fans are psychotic.
Which, like that, yeah, those Detroit fans should be thrown in jail for life. You've had nothing to cheer for your entire life outside of stars who have been wasted. This guy got you to the NFC title game, and you want to run him out of town?
Is he going to be that? Is he going to do that play,
yes,
though, in the playoffs?
I think that he will.
You
I think
really
this is who
think
he
will?
Yes, I do.
Because I think it's one thing to do it in the regular season. That win last night all but locks up their division for him.
At 12-1. I mean,
they'd have to crumble completely to not win the division.
They're
only
a game ahead of Minnesota, technically, but I don't. I'm with you there.
Based on what we've seen from those two teams, right? I don't know if I am convinced he will do that. every opportunity given in the playoffs.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's just a blank check. Like, anytime there's a fourth down, you're never going to punt again.
Well, the fourth and one in your own territory, the one he didn't get.
Yep.
Is he going to try that in the playoffs? I don't know if he will.
I think a lot of it will depend on a couple of things. One, what defense are you playing? What is your confidence level in the call that you have that's set up? Now, a lot of these worked, but the toss that they called on the fourth and short didn't work out for him. And then back to the point that I was making, like, how's his defense playing? Is his defense getting shredded every time by whoever they're playing in that situation? Because if that's the case, then yes, be aggressive and go for it.
If he's playing the Eagles, is he going for that?
How many points do the Eagles have at that moment of the game? And are they moving the ball easily up and down the field on Detroit? And if that's the case, then yes, I think he's going for it. But if that's like a 10-3 game and Philly's really struggling and Hurts has a couple of picks.
Let's say it's kind of yesterday. The beginning in the first half of that game was Lions defense dominating.
It was.
And the second half was the Packers figuring some stuff out. Love throwing some absolute dimes.
He did.
If it's the same kind of game,
I think he's going for it. I just think that's who he is, man.
In his own territory.
In his own territory. And wow. I'm going to root like hell
up
for him.
Up three.
Wow. Let's go, Roar Boys.
I don't know if he will. And that's going to be interesting to watch. It's one thing to do it in the regular season. You can afford a loss. You are trying to win a division. I think it's another. It's like, we lose this game. This is it. Our season's over. We are the Vegas favorite to win the NFC and the Super Bowl. Would he do it there? I don't know if I'm convinced he would against a team like Philadelphia. Everybody else, including Green Bay, I think he goes for it. Philadelphia is the one team I say, is he convinced he can run and push that defensive front deep in his own territory, 3-point lead? I don't know if he pushes that button. I think he punts.
The interesting thing about these two wins for them, so the one last night and the one earlier this year, Green Bay, we all viewed coming into the season as their biggest threat in the NFC North. Jordan Love, you know, where's he going to go? Minnesota kind of came out of nowhere, and they're still technically alive.
Yeah.
But if they end up winning the division, it'll be because they won these two games against Green Bay, likely. And in those two games, he went for it on fourth down 7 times, and he was 6-for-7, and they won both of the games.
Yeah.
And this is just the point, like, maybe he does it in the playoffs and it bites him, and that ends up being the reason that they lost. How many games can you look at throughout the course of the regular season and say, yeah, you maybe don't win that game if you punt it back to Jordan Love there? You just give him the ball back, and here you go. Jordan Love drives down the field and scores. Maybe you lose that game, and the outcome's different. I also like to switch the thinking to, because people do this with Lanning. After the Wisconsin game, it was, he's going to do this, it's going to cost him a big game. That was the takeaway of the fake field goal for a lot of people. And I chuckle at that because, yeah, there's absolutely the possibility it could happen. It's already happened.
We saw it against Washington.
We literally went for it in our own territory with Ty Thompson, a quarterback, 2 years ago and lost the game at all. That was not a fun outcome, right? But I love that that's our thinking instead of saying, what if he does it and it works and that wins him the game?
Yeah,
what if he does it on fourth and whatever, on his own 27-yard line in the NFC title game? He needs to ice the clock. The other team has no timeouts left. A first down, the game is over on his own 26.
And it's fourth and two.
And he goes for it, and he gets it, and he takes it, and he goes to the Super Bowl because of it. Yeah. We always play the fearful negative scenario, not the, what if he does it and it works? What if he goes 4-for-5 in the NFC title game, and they win the game because of
that? I certainly don't want to sound like a hypocrite. Listeners probably point out many a time I do. I just always prefer my coach to operate the way he operates.
Yes.
He is, I can't remember what game it was, but I was watching a game not long ago, NFL college, can't remember, but like, there was a moment where the clock is ticking down, they have a timeout, the other team has none, and the coach calls a timeout immediately, and there's 28 seconds, and they're going for like a game-winning situation, and I'm like,
what are you doing?
Why would you not take the clock all the way down and make it the last play the way they did at the end of the first half yesterday?
Right.
And I know that's such a little thing that a lot of coaches do, but also a lot of coaches don't. He's not only super hyper-aggressive and has a core belief in his group, he's a smart coach. He really is a smart coach. So like, I totally get both sides of those angles, those fourth down decisions. I just prefer, like, he is one of my favorite coaches in all of football. I just love everything he's about. I love his message. He gives all the credit in the world to his guys and his staff.
They love him in that locker room.
He's doing up downs with them. He's the most football centric, smart, rah-rah combination of everything that I love about that sport.
With a couple of really good coordinators.
He kind of embodied, even my guy, Kyle Shanahan, who I think is a genius offensively. How many times I've counted that he kicks a field goal on fourth and two.
They turtles in those
and
moments.
And I'm just like, buddy, you got the best. You know what I mean? Like, you're the genius, and you won't do it. Campbell just doesn't care, and I love that. I love that. Even if it ends up biting you, you're going to get criticism for it, but I still love it. I prefer it.
You got to love me at my best and love me at my worst, man. And when it works, 100%. I love him. The only one that I was sitting at home saying was the one on the 30-yard. That was the only one I thought, that's aggressive. We'll see if it works.
Mighty aggressive. It cost him.
But I also I looked at their second-half drive chart for Green Bay. They had five possessions, and they scored three touchdowns and a field goal. They had one drive in the second half where they didn't score a point. And yep. So his thought was, they're shredding our defense right now. Let's try and keep our offense on the field. The last one I loved because the possible negative consequences,
everybody
you go to overtime.
On social media was saying, kick the field goal. What are you doing?
There was 45 seconds left, right? Am I right on my timing
like
there?
That.
So if you just kick the field goal there, that's like two completions for Jordan Love and a couple of spikes, and a dude can kick a 60-yarder, and you're going to overtime. You're 2 yards away. You can run the clock down, end the game potentially on that possession, and that's exactly what happened.
Fun game last night. Thursday Night Football was electric. The Lions win 34-31. They're 12-1 on the year.
That was an awesome game. It really was.
It was.
That was a really fun Thursday night game.
Felt like a playoff game.
It did. The atmosphere was great. I'm so happy for Detroit, man.
Isn't it great when Thursday night football teams have a full week off? They look better.
The product's actually pretty good, isn't it?
I know Bengals-Ravens was fun a couple weeks ago, but like largely I like when these teams get a full week rest.
Yes.
They're gladiators, man.
Give them a bye week before.
It's just the way they coach, too. I mean, come on. You think Mike Tomlin, even if he got a week off, he'd actually care about a Thursday night football game? He'd be looking ahead, be like, nope, I like that week and a half between my Thursday and Sunday game after my Thursday game. No, Dan Campbell goes into every game like it's his last, and that's why the Lions won.
12-1 on the year, the Detroit Lions. We'll spray the line at 8:30 today. A lot of college football on the docket this weekend. Dirt's break back with more, but first, Schultzy with a sports update.
They've only won this way or that way on a block kick, and they only win by 1, 2, 3.
I can't quit my takes.
Merry Christmas from Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Oh, ho, ho.
I can't quit my takes.
I can't quit my takes.
I can't quit my takes.
Nope. Can't do it. You gotta stand by your takes.
Chipmunk this morning.
Oh, it was last night, too.
It was a great...
happened Monday as well.
Yeah, where did this go?
My fault. I was here.
No, it happened with swag.
No, yeah.
It wasn't our fault.
Your fault, Schultzy. There was a tweet going viral from Colin in 2021. Uh-huh. Now, we all have bad takes, and Lord knows I was not the biggest man Campbell guy when they hired him.
Oh, we played the audio. Yes. We clearly made fun of him like everybody else did.
They hired PC Principal to be their head coach. This is not going to end well. And Colin tweeted, if you're looking for winners and losers in tonight's trade, consider this. Jared Goff goes from Sean McVay to Fred Flintstone.
Wow!
I mean,
dab-a-dab-a-doo.
We were all there. That's how we all felt when they hired him. It was the Lions. He didn't give them a benefit of the doubt. They didn't deserve it.
Yeah, man. Nobody could have turned around the reputation more than that guy. We played his locker room speech during the commercial break. My God.
I would run through a brick wall for him. Somebody had a great tweet last night, too, that basically was like, look, this is the Lions. You don't just win with the Lions by doing the same old stuff. 100%. They never win. You got to do it different, and he's doing it differently.
I think we've done this poll question on the Twitter page we have, Dirt and Sprague. Who would America, if we voted in America, every American had to vote that watched football, who would win the vote of who you root for in the Super Bowl and your fandom's not allowed? So Detroit and Buffalo are out. Bills or Lions? Who do non-Lions and non-Bills fans pull for in a hypothetical Super Bowl there?
That is so hard.
Heartbreak City 4 straight years or never done it?
Never been.
Never been relevant.
I think I would lean Detroit.
You want a fun fact? Buffalo from 90, what was it? They went like 30 straight years of no division. And they've won 5 straight now.
Yeah.
Like, they've also went through a real lull period there in the Brady Belichick era.
They did.
And the Lions have been, you know, bags over your head.
They had one of the longest playoff droughts. I remember when Tyrod Taylor got them there.
Yes.
And they finally ended their playoff drought. I think that kicked it then to the Mariners having, I think the Bills were like the previous holder.
I think the Mariners were.
And then they won, and they got there, and then it became the Mariners the longest drought, and then the Mariners made it a couple of years ago.
Browns.
And now it's the Brownies. I think I would lean.
Is it really the Browns in all of sports?
No, it can't be the Browns.
Baker was he beat Tomlin. Yeah.
They were just there a couple years ago.
They were there last year.
What am I thinking?
They were just.
I just heard this stat like a day ago.
We'll
look it up. I think I would lean Detroit, though.
You'd lean Detroit?
It's one of those. I'm totally fence riding. I do love Josh Allen.
How many tables would get broken in Buffalo?
It would be a beautiful game because there's not often where you watch a Super Bowl and I am genuinely thrilled either way.
Because both teams are going to do dumb things.
Yes.
And both teams are going to do awesome things.
We have a tie.
Both sides seem very likable.
They do, yes. We have a tie between the New York Jets.
Yeah, that's who it was.
At 13 years. So the last time was their second AFC title run with Mark Sanchez. Mm-hmm. And
butt fumble.
Butt fumble. And then the Buffalo Sabres also at 13 years in the NHL.
Fighting Hasheks.
Professional sports. Then it's the Angels at 10, Pirates at 9.
The Angels are going to win this.
Hornets at 8, Red Wings at 8, Broncos at 8. Those are your longest streaks.
Red Wings are, oh my God.
Number 2 in the NHL. Hornets are the longest. Not making the playoffs for 8 years in the NBA is, the entire league makes the playoffs. And they got play-in now too?
I highly doubt you're going to get to this. We're going to dive in. I'm going to dive in headfirst into college football coming up here. I doubt you had this on your show sheet to bring up.
Probably not.
Did you read or see any of this Woj interview?
I did see that, yeah.
I thought there was a lot of, like, next level thinking that I appreciate. And also, like, dude, you kind of created the monster. It's a weird thing to be out on it. Mm-hmm. Woj did a sit down interview with Mannix. And I'll read a blurb. Woj retired for health reasons and scheduling reasons. And in it, Mannix writes, in May, Woj traveled to Arkansas for a memorial for Chris Mortensen, the longtime NFL insider who died in March from throat cancer. Mortensen spent more than 3 decades at ESPN. When Woj arrived in Bristol in 2017, Mortensen was among the first to welcome him back. Many ESPNers made the trip to Arkansas. What Woj was struck by was how many did not. Quote, it made me remember that the job isn't everything. In the end, it's just going to be your family and close friends. And it's also like, nobody gives an S. Nobody remembers breaking stories in the end.
No.
It's just vapor. End quote.
It's just vapor.
Somebody that
all
gets
we are is dust in the wind, man.
Somebody that literally gets millions of views a tweet. Like, he puts it into very good perspective.
Yeah, I mean, that should be everybody's philosophy on life.
Well, if you're an ESPN exec, aren't you just thinking, well, first of all, you should have already thought this, but like, aren't you just like, we just gave Shams God knows how much money
to break news on a hamstring injury. Yes.
Rizful.
He's not going to play tonight. He will not be in the lineup.
Well, do we have evidence that when he gets on a broadcast, like, because in our little stupid bubble, eyeballs and ears and clicks and all that, like, all that stuff matters. So I'm just like, aside from a tweet, is there actual evidence that people get pulled to the TV to watch Shams? Like, you can make fun of Stephen A. all you want. He's going to get $120 million.
Mm-hmm.
People watch. You don't have to like it. He's entertaining. Do people care to watch or listen to Shams, Sharania?
I don't think so, no. I don't know if anybody ever really even cared to listen to what Woj had to say.
So
he was just about breaking news.
So you're paying for a tweet.
You're paying for a tweet.
Millions of dollars.
Yeah, you're paying for all his connections.
It's not access, man. It's agent spin. It's GM spin.
But it's
not real access.
I can't get those access. Like, I can't
get
those text
messages.
Wait
5 minutes, you get the press release.
The team will send it out.
I mean, that's all this is.
My sources confirm. Should start that trend. Just breaking the news after the breaking news. You could become one of those guys in the sports world.
I don't know. I know he's got some clarity in his life now, and it took him a long time to get to that clarity. I found that interview fascinating. And just like, we still are paying newsbreakers as if like it really matters that much.
Yes, that the team press release will not come out 5 minutes later.
Did anyone notice too, after Woj initially announced his retirement, ESPN had like a staffer that I think he had been on the air like a producer a little bit, and he announced that he was going to be taking over for Woj. And then all of a sudden, like, nobody talked about him after this, like, you know, big old announcement on Twitter with a couple million views. And then they're like, a week later, Shams is coming in. I felt kind of bad. Like, it's
whoever
just,
that guy was.
Yeah, whoever that guy is, I don't even remember his name. It's just a good representation of how this business chews you up and spits you out. And Woj himself is like, yeah,
man, it's hard. Like, once you're in the limelight and you get some attention and eyeballs and click, you know, it's hard to walk away from it, man. Like, fame and attention and all that is an addictive drug for a lot of people. I respect the hell out of him. He got diagnosed with prostate cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the reason he started thinking about it. Then the Mortensen funeral that you mentioned there in the blurb. And he's like, dude, you know what? What am I doing? I want to see my family. I'm set financially for life. I love college basketball. I'm going to go work for the Bonnies. I'm out, man. I don't need to do this anymore.
Let's dive headfirst into the college football conference championship slate. There's a lot to discuss. Dirt and Sprague back with that on 1080 The Fan. We operate in sports largely with narratives forming opinion. And sometimes people are powerful enough to give an opinion and people are so devout to that person that they will then form the same opinion based on that person's opinion. And I'm asking sincerely, Big Ten title game is tomorrow, Dirt.
Mm-hmm.
5 o'clock Pacific.
Yeah, 5 o'clock right here.
CBS.
Right here on the Fan. Pregame will be 1 to 3.
Nestler and Danielson.
You can hear me live Jordy on the air watching Allen. The SEC title game while doing a pregame show.
What is the narrative Monday on Dan Lanning if he loses this game? Because there has been a little bit of redemption for old Daniel Lanning this year of undefeated, Big Ten title game year one, vanquished the Huskies finally.
Yeah.
But also it feels like he has gotten a little more than other coaches in college football of he beat Ohio State this year at Autzen Stadium.
That he did.
And it seems like it's shifted a little bit of like, hey, Dan Lanning in a big game, he conquered those demons. And I say, well, he conquered the game. Do we do that with other coaches in college football? Like James Franklin, his record against Michigan, Ohio State, for example, is like 4-16 or something.
It's not very good.
But that's 4 wins.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Day only has lost to Michigan and Oregon as a coach.
Yes.
In the regular season. And so he's the biggest loser in the world. What is the opinion Monday we come in if the Ducks don't win the Big Ten title game and they lose to Penn State?
This is the weird thing about the expanded playoff, and it kind of goes into where my mind is at as a fan. I don't know if there's a big negative takeaway. Like, maybe I'm wrong on that, but the guy just wrapped up the only undefeated regular season in college football this year, 12-0, in the Big Ten title game, the first year in the conference. They will at worst be the 5 seed in the college football playoff if they lose this weekend. Like, I think it would be totally different if we lived in a 4-team window. This is why it's unique for coaches. Franklin is a prime example of this. He lost his biggest game of the year. Had horrible play calls in that game. They were kind of lucky to be in it with only a 1-score game, if we're being honest. They lost. Everybody wanted to fire him after that. And now Penn State's 11-1, and they're locked to make the college football playoff in an expanded format. If this was the 4-team field, you lose this weekend, let's say like Texas wins and some of these other, Notre Dame would be in, Penn State would be in, and that would potentially bounce you a la Georgia a year ago, who was undefeated in the regular season, lost to Alabama in the SEC title game, and they didn't make the playoff. Then I think you would have a lot of that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're going to have, maybe you will. Maybe some corners will come out and say, oh, there's Lanning in a big game. And I'm sure if there's a 4th down call in the game, that will lead more to it. But I think it's all right, well, you lost. How do you recover? Now you got to play in 2 weeks against whoever the 12 seed is in the playoffs.
I found him yesterday, and this is not in any way an indictment of them. I felt like listening to him on primetime, he sounded like somebody exhausted.
He needs some sleep.
Recruiting, the signing day period, the portal is looming. He's coaching a rivalry game that clearly he exerts a lot of energy in these games. If you watch these Ducks versus them videos, practice all week. Then, hey, you just beat Washington for the first time. Now, shut up and get ready for the Big Ten title game. Now it's Penn State film. He just sounded exhausted. I was wondering, though, losing to Penn State, that's where I wonder what the narrative is Monday for people with him. Because,
well, they have that narrative coming in that they can't win games like this.
Right. Yeah. And so that's the team that everybody think looks at and says, well, I mean, Penn State can't beat Ohio State, Michigan. They should be able to beat Oregon.
Right.
And then if Penn State beats Oregon, it's going to be, well, did Lanning get lucky against Ohio State?
Ah, if he would have slid 1 second earlier.
I'm just asking, what is the narrative if they don't win that game? And you know that it's kind of a turn and burn in the playoff, but
yeah.
That's how that is. It's so weird the way we do it, but we still do it. That narratives get formed really quickly.
Well, to the note on Penn State, some of the stats on them going in, they have lost 13 straight games, not counting random bowl game wins here or there, like, you know, conference championship or regular season games. They have lost 13 in a row against top 10 opponents.
Yeah.
And then James Franklin's
been very bad
last 15 games against top 10 teams, they were 1-14 in those games.
Are you cocky sniffing this week? It's kind of had an air of it, but you're not like out with it.
There's a quiet confidence. I'm not cocky sniffing. Okay. I think Penn State's a really good team at the line of scrimmage. They're probably the best team at the line of scrimmage that you've not probably. They are since Ohio State. They have their weaknesses in big games. Franklin has his weaknesses. So I really like Oregon's chances to win this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going in and, you know, it's going to be a bloodbath or a blowout. They got a ton of talent, a ton of NFL dudes all over the roster. And Oregon has shown that they sometimes will let teams hang around and maybe, you know, get clunky offensively here or there. So, no, not a cocky sniff, a quiet confidence going into the game.
We have a very random ticker stop today, but it'll make sense when we explain it. We got conference championships, other conference championships to get into. Dan Lanning gave some thoughts on Penn State. We have a loaded second hour of the program. I'm going to carry over something Dirt just said there about Oregon-Penn State this weekend that I want to get to. Hour number 2. Dirt and Sprague on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and 1080 The Fan.